Amen. If you have your Bibles, can you hold them up for me? I'd like to see who brought their Bibles. No, it's not a shame fest. It's so good to bring your Bibles. It's a good reminder. Youth, you guys too. It could be on your phone, but bringing your Bibles, there's nothing like turning the pages of the Word. I have to be careful because I'm such a note taker that all my notes don't come out. I never know which Bible to bring up here to preach from because there's always going to be one that's going to go flying. So anyways, it's all good stuff if something falls down there. So today, maybe you haven't seen me before. I'm Nicole. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And we are going to be talking about, or continuing to talk about, spiritual gifts. You'll see our nice artwork here, spiritual gifts. And we started it last week, Pastor Wes did. And we're going to be going through this series for the summer. I would suggest if you have paper and pen, just like the text. Did a few people get a text this week, or probably yesterday, saying, bring your paper and pen? Yeah, isn't that a great app? We've got that for the church, and that's why you're getting some extra reminders. So we have a lot to cover this morning, and there's going to be scriptures on the screen to help as we go, but making sure you have your Bible open and ready to go. So I want to begin by reminding us of who the Holy Spirit is, because this is such an important topic that we're discussing today. He is one of the members of our triune God. If you think of a Trinity, there's three parts, there's three sides to it. Our triune God. This is the third person of the Trinity. Our Pentecostal assemblies, in what we call the statement of fundamental and essential truths. So this is kind of like what we believe. What they say here is that the Holy Spirit is also God, performing actions and possessing the attributes of the deity. His personality is shown by the fact that he has personal characteristics and that individuals may relate to him as a person. So when you call the Holy Spirit it, that's not really referring to the person. He is God. So you may ask, what does he do? Well, at salvation, he is the gift. When we pray, and at that moment of salvation, when he comes into our heart, we are born again. A person can be born again only through faith in Christ. So, first you must believe. Repentance, so when I say I'm sorry, I'm repenting, it's a complete change of mind or a complete turnaround of what you were thinking about or doing. And it's fashioned by the Holy Spirit, where it turns a person to God from sin. Another word for it is called regeneration. Can you say that with me? Regeneration. Regeneration is a creative work of the Holy Spirit where a person is born again and receives spiritual life. Then we are sanctified. Now, sanctification is a dedication to God and a separation from sin. Where did that come from? A dedication to God and a separation from evil. Excuse me, I don't know where that came from. Separation from evil. It's both instantly happens and it's progressive. So remember we talked about if there's a line that's dropped, God's here and I'm here. Okay? So the moment the Holy Spirit comes in, I am sanctified. But for that sanctification to keep happening, I need to walk with Jesus every day. I need to read my Bible every day. I need to pray. I need to grow in the Spirit. I need to do the things that he's telling me to do, right? So I am instantly sanctified and I am progressively working at it. That's your theology lesson for today. Theology 101, hey? So it's produced in the life of the believer through Christ's blood and risen life through the Holy Spirit. So He draws the believer's attention to Christ, teaches them through the word, and produces the character of Christ within them. And it's as they walk their life out with Christ. The Holy Spirit becomes our guide on this journey, doesn't he? Amen. And then after we're saved, the Holy Spirit has gifts for the believer. Okay? So I want to track with you as we go. Then there's the present. I want to say the present of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to distinguish some of the different things that the Holy Spirit does for us, in us, through us, okay? So if we call it the present of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if we review, when Jesus told the disciples that he had to return to heaven right away because he had important work to be done, he told them that he wouldn't leave them alone. He said that he would send them someone else to take his place. Now, we know who that someone else was. It was? Okay, good. Wow, these guys are good this morning, Pastor Wes. They had their Wheaties this morning. All right. It would be someone even better than his own physical presence had been. And he would be to them all that he had been and more. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, who is also known as our Comforter. Isn't that a wonderful name for the Holy Spirit? I think that's so, there's such richness to it, because he does. He comes down as a comforter. He helps. He embraces us. He comes alongside. And that's what the Comforter means, one who comes alongside. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Oh, this is our big Pentecostal verse. I love it. But you shall receive, what's the word?
Power.
Come on. I thought you were awake this morning. But you shall receive?
Power.
Yes. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. Like, not just power and the light comes on. It's power. It's wonderful, amazing work of God comes upon you. It's called in Greek the dunamis, or dynamite, as some people like to call it, heavenly dynamite power that explodes in your soul. Amen. Let me say that again. If you want to say power, that's heavenly dynamite that explodes in your soul. So you won't be saying power like that anymore when you read it. You're going to be reading it to your children's children. You're going to be saying, but you shall receive power. It's a sense of strong duty to follow your Savior. All you need to do is ask the Lord for this power, because it is a present. It is a gift from him. And it is to empower you for his work. If we look in our Bibles at Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Are you turning in your Bibles? And I'm going to skip through, but I'm going to read 1, 2, 4, and 11. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All. If you have a pen, circle that. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring, I love that, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I speak a different language, and all of a sudden I hear somebody saying, wow, Jesus is so awesome, in my own language. That's miraculous. That's supernatural. So there's a man who writes a book. His name's Donald G. And in the book, God's Great Gift, it states that there is a power that's reserved for Christians. It's reserved for you. It's purely spiritual in its nature, and it cannot be shared by men of this world, yet it can be enjoyed by those who possess hardly any natural talent to lay at the Master's feet. And it's called the power of the Holy Spirit. So what you're saying, Pastor Nicole, is, you know, I'm not really good at sports, so I'm not really artsy. I read my Bible, but I don't know. I don't know. Could I get it? Yes.
Hallelujah.
It's not it's reserved for you as a Christian.
Amen.
So Speaking in tongues is what we would say is the initial evidence that the sign of the Holy Spirit is there. There are five accounts in the book of Acts where people were filled with the baptism of the Spirit, which was separate and different from the indwelling of the Spirit at salvation. Remember we talked about that this way and working it out? Being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for your prayer life. It's for you, your one-on-one time with God, and it builds you up and it helps you. So this is something that daily you should be doing. When you have no natural language left, what can you do? You can pray in tongues. Speaking in tongues is to be done every day to build your spiritual muscles, not a one-time experience. So, Pastor, when I was at camp years ago, I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? I don't know how to do that anymore. Well, have you been working on it? You have to build and work on it every day. You need to take time, just like when you take time to read your devotions and you take time to pray before you eat, right? You're remembering God. What do? When I pray, I also take time to speak to the Lord using my prayer language. You know what? Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. There's times where people will come. But a month and a half ago, Pastor Wes felt that we should have people come forward and be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, did everyone who came receive it? No. Oh, our faith was bad. No. It was not the right timing. You know what? God chooses to give the gift, right? So maybe you need to do a little bit more work in going back to God and saying, God, I seek the giver, not the gift. I seek you. Well, Pastor Nicole, does it always have to happen at altar? No. I love when I've worked at camp with kids and they say, I don't know what happened, but I didn't get it last night at the altar, but when I went home, when I went to my cabin and I closed my eyes and started to pray, I started to have this little jibble-jabble talking, and I got it. You know what? That's God. That proves even more that it's not someone who has to pray over you and touch you. Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, the promise is for you, your children, and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, to sum this up, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. There are no age barriers. You know what? If your child is ready, God knows. Amen. I was 9 when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's for you as an individual. Maybe some of you have never even prayed and asked God for this gift. He still can. Never too old. One of the greatest benefits of tongues is to pray using them in your private devotions because your spirit soars and it's very edifying. The more you exercise this gift, the more you are strengthened. So next, I want to discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're moving right along this morning, going through quite a few things, but I want to create the base so that you understand exactly what we're talking about when we speak specifically about this. If we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 5 to 11, or you can also follow me on the screen, which is fine too. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, verse 8, pay attention. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Last week, Pastor Wes began the series with these scriptures. So who can receive spiritual gifts? We're going to look at Acts chapter 2. It's up there. And it's originally the verse from Joel, of the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That's an action. I'm going to do it. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Spiritual gifts are given to each person by the Holy Spirit. They are special abilities that are used to minister to the needs of the body of believers. Okay? So the 9 gifts are for the body of believers. All spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit, and He decides which gift each one of us should have. Their purpose, and if you're writing down, the purpose is to build up the church. Okay? So baptism of the Holy Spirit is an edification for you and God. The 9 spiritual gifts are for you to build up the body of Christ. If we go to 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Right? We do these things as service to build up others. But in all of it, we acknowledge that God, you reign. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. That's what 1 Peter says. Well, if you look at the next slide, what are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives? This is good stuff, people. So, you know, like gold. Write it in your journals. 9 gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 that we read. They are commonly known as the ministry gifts. These gifts bring people freedom who are looking to Jesus for help. They're supernatural abilities given by God to the believer. Like the gift of miracles, that's supernatural. The gift of healing, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, those are supernatural. When the believer is led to exercise their gift, they are enabled to minister effectively and directly to particular situations. It demonstrates the presence of God within His church, and having spiritual gifts at work in the church is the basis for Christian ministry. I remember I was working at a church where the Spirit of God was moving. A revival was happening. And a lady came, I'd say even more young adult came. And she stood before me, and she just asked for prayer. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I don't know what to pray for. And then all of a sudden, this strong nicotine odor I was smelling. And believe it or not, it was actually supernatural, because I asked people afterwards if they could smell it, and they said no. And I started to pray the word, you know, that she would be delivered from this bad habit. And God touched her miraculously, like just so amazing. You knew it was God. And afterwards, when I said, you know, to the people beside me, I'm like, wow, that was a really strong smell. And they were like, well, what were you smelling? I didn't smell that at all. I think God moves in amazing ways. And he helps us for those whom we are praying for. The categories of the gifts of the Spirit. These are the ways that a lot of people have, different authors and such, have categorized them to make it a little more, not applicable, but understandable. So one of them is power to know, or if you want to write down, the revelation gifts. So it's revealed. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Second, power to do, the power gifts. Man, you need power from on high for faith, for healing, and for miracles. And then the power to speak, the utterance gifts, the prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are tools that we have as Christians that God has given us to help us here on earth to do our appointed jobs. And today, specifically, we are focusing on the utterance gifts. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. So I want to talk about tongues and interpretation together, because a lot of the times they will function together, but let's specifically talk about these. The gift of tongues needs to be recognized as a gift. Some believers, not all, are used by God to speak in tongues in public service. Okay, in a public service where the gift of tongues, all of a sudden somebody just starts speaking out in a different language that is unknown. Okay, that's different from your prayer language. This is for a public service. This is the language given to speak in a language unknown to the speaker. After the gift of tongues has been given in a service, it should always be interpreted in the language of the congregation. So, if it's all of a sudden I start speaking in Swahili, the interpretation is given so that people can understand it in English in this service, okay? The interpretation is also given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and we give credit to God. It is to show that the person who is interpreting is, as Donald G. says, in close concentration in spirit upon the Lord who gives the interpretation. Donald G. would say from the book Concerning Spiritual Gifts that the words are given by revelation. So the words come sometimes to people by a vision, by a burden, by a suggestion, just as the Lord may choose. It's dependent on how he speaks to that person. Interpretation is sometimes the same person. So sometimes you may hear the same person giving both the tongues and the interpretation. And other times, it's not. The person who receives the gift of tongues is also to pray for the gift of interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13 says, "For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say." Now we need to remember, this is for a church setting and for building up the body of believers. This is so the utterance becomes intelligible to the church. So God, what is it that you're saying? That we may reflect on it and change, do, act for your glory. So we give the glory back to God. So again, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the same gift as tongues and interpretation, although seems very similar. The gift of tongues is to be a sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, "Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers." This is so the unbeliever sees that it is not done by us ourselves, rather to look deeper into the Christian faith and possibly become saved. Very important. As well, there is not to be more than 2 to 3 tongues and interpretations given in a church congregation setting. It is not to be shown that one Christian is superior over another, nor is it to become confusing as to what God is trying to say to the body of believers. Get that? So we don't want to have the whole service of tongues and interpretation. So then you go, well, what is God really trying to say? Why are gifts given to the church? Well, God gave the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that his work would continue on earth. Ephesians 4, verse 12, the key is to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Isn't that an interesting picture of the church? Doesn't quite look the same. What is that white stuff? No, I was thinking more of the church building, but it's looking so good lately thanks to the all the workers. Romans 12, verses 4 to 6. I know I'm jumping around a lot, but I want to give you lots of good scripture so that you understand. You can go back and look on it later. Romans 12, 4 to 6. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. So let's talk about prophecy. Prophecy is a speaking gift. It's extraordinary and it's unique. The Greek word, and I'm probably not going to say it very well, but prophetia, I think it is, which is the ability to receive a divinely inspired message and deliver it to others in the church. There's a book that Don and Katie Fortune have written, and it's called Discovering Your God-Given Gifts. Really good book to understanding the gifts. And they say that prophecy is an anointed proclamation of God, which I really like that. And through an individual to encourage, exhort, or comfort. It's an anointed proclamation of God through an individual to encourage, exhort, or comfort. It's otherwise known as inspired utterance. I love that. Oh, you had a prophetic word for us this morning. Thank you for your inspired utterance. Thanks for laughing, Jewel. I thought it was funny. But it communicates God's message to people. It provides insight. It provides warning or correction. And in it, there's encouragement. They must speak in order to proclaim God's word. Like it's just burning inside of them. They've got to get it out. Some people have said that, oh, well, prophecy is like a prediction. No. It is not just a prediction about the future. It can also mean to preach God's word with power. Prophecy is given to equip and edify the body of Christ. It is the human interpretation of the revelation that they have received. So here's my interpretation of what I feel that God has given me. It's spoken in human words through a human mind, which is why we must test it against the scriptures. Let me say that again. We are human. And our human mind is trying to comprehend things, but sometimes when things come out, it may not be quite the slant that God wanted. So we have to test it against the scriptures. In the past, some people have taken advantage of their gift by believing that they have the right to use this ability as they choose. But this is the exact opposite of what God wants. He wants us to use our giftings to serve others as he directs, not as we choose. Well, are there rules? Why, yes, Pastor Nicole, there are rules. The gifts are subject to the authority structure in the church. Listen carefully. Prophecy does not have authority over the elders or overseers in the church. Acts 20, verse 28 says that and confirms it. You should always submit the word to the pastor in charge of the service before exercising. It's not always done. Sometimes things are blurted out, but it should be submitted to leadership. Because Scripture talks about there needs to be an order in service. There is to be order in the church service in this manner. So if you feel like you have a word to give, just come to the front and talk with one of the pastors. Right? We'll discuss it. And a lot of the times you'll see, like, Pastor Wes will come up with a person and he'll grab the mic and he'll say, I believe that so-and-so has a word for us right now. Right? We've seen that. That is the right order to do it in our church. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Love this. Have confidence in your leaders. Yes. Right, Pastor Wes? Hallelujah. Amen. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because, not just do it, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So are we not going to let you give a prophetic word if we don't like you? No. I hope not. If it's in line in the service, then yes. We have to give an account. That's big. We want order and flow. And you know what? A lot of the times it's timing. Timing in the service. We want it to work together so that all of a sudden, you know, here's the thing. It sounds funny, but if I got another fast song coming up and then Pastor Wes comes up with a really kind of down prophetic word, it's like, okay, well, what should we do? We got to figure out what to do next, right? It's not that we're not going to say that word is not the right, but it's the timing, right? So we want to weigh what is said with Scripture and the timing of the gift in the service. We want to hold on to what is good, as 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 to 20 says. We want the church to grow in unity. So if anyone speaks in a tongue, they should speak one at a time, and then someone must interpret. Interpretation may be given by the same person or another, we talked about, and there can be two gifts given in a service of tongues and interpretation, but at the most, three. Now, we talked about this, because what happens if all of a sudden everybody starts just giving it? We're not going to have time to sing or preach or all these other things and hear these lovely announcements that we want to hear. Well, a God of order in worship is what we read about in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 to 33. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That is key. 1 Corinthians 14:26. And verse 32, let me read that again. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Well, Pastor Nicole, you sure have taught a lot today. We've talked about when the Spirit comes in at salvation. We've talked about the present of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. that it's for all. And it doesn't have to happen at the altar. It can happen on your pillow. But you need to be seeking it. And as you seek the giver of gifts, there are 9 wonderful, beautiful gifts, spiritual gifts, that are for the church. There's so much more to know. But instead of feeling overwhelmed, we're going to go to God in prayer. We're going to talk about the rest of the gifts in the coming weeks. But let's just bow our heads in prayer, please. So Jesus, let us not waste the gift that you have given us. Let us not wait to use them if we already have them and know what they are. We want to serve you and others with our giftings, God. 1 Timothy says, let us not neglect the gift that is given to us, but let us fan it into flame. Lord, maybe you're talking to one of us right now about our relationship with you. Maybe you're speaking with some about exercising the baptism of the Holy Spirit's gift that's already within them. To use it more, to use it daily. Or for those, maybe you're speaking that haven't ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just encircle this sanctuary right now. Move deeply in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, for those who are seeking you for their spiritual gift, they don't know what their spiritual gift is. Lord, for those who are you are calling to speak in prophecy or to speak with tongues and give interpretation so that the church body may be built up, Lord, may that happen even now. It's at your choosing and at your bidding. But God, we seek you. More of you, O God. We want to pursue you, Holy Spirit. We want to grow in you, and so we ask that you would meet with us now. We want our church to function properly and orderly, and we need your guidance because we cannot do that alone. So thank you, Lord, for your scripture, for the time that you have given us to speak about these subjects today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.